Hallelujah. Once again, we want to thank God for this time. Hallelujah. Whenever a believer tries to go closer to God, he is attacked by the serpent. Whenever the church rises in the spirit, whenever a body of Christ or a believer, even an individual, rises in the spirit to go closer to God, they are attacked by the serpent. Hallelujah. When we read in the book of Revelation, chapter number 12, when we read the book of Revelation, chapter 12, and verse number 13 onwards, it says, "Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child." The woman that signifies the apostolic church, the body of Christ. So he started to persecute the woman. He started to persecute the body of believers, the dragon. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place. What does that signify? That signifies that the woman waited on the Lord and she started to rise in the spirit, move close to God. Wilderness. When the Bible uses the word wilderness, wilderness refers to the secret place. Wilderness refers to the place. It says, it defines in this verse that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished. Wilderness is the secret place, a place where believers are nourished. They are strengthened. Hallelujah. If we want to reach, the physical strength will not, how much ever chicken pieces you eat and receive physical strength, it does not matter in the spirit. Physical strength does not matter in the realms of the spirit. In the realms of the spirit, what matters is the spiritual strength. Spiritual strength is more powerful. It is the spiritual strength that is what Paul, Apostle Paul, says to Timothy. He says that bodily exercise is profitable, but more profitable is the spiritual exercise. Hallelujah. So wilderness in this context, it's a place where the woman is nourished. It says that she can be nourished there for a time and times half a time from the presence of the serpent. Hallelujah. But that's not it. The serpent is not done away with. What does the Bible say again? Verse number 15. It says that, "So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman." When we are seeking God in the secret place, and when we are even rising in the realms of the spirit, coming closer to God, even then the serpent is after us and he will attack the body of Christ. Believers who are trying to rise to higher stature, to move closer to God, to know the voice of God, the serpent will not attack the believers who are watching football match on that TV. He will come and attack you who are seeking God. Hallelujah. That body of Christ, those believers he will attack. And how? What did he do? He spewed water out of his mouth like a flood. What does the Bible say? When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him. And the Bible says, like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. Today, this is what the Lord is saying, that the enemy, the serpent, is releasing floods against the believers. Not all believers, but the believers who are trying to settle and trying to be consistent in the wilderness, in intimacy with God. He is releasing floods against them. What are the floods against them that he is releasing? He is releasing the flood of doubts. How the flood of doubts he is releasing? Through situations, through things that he is bringing in our family, situations that he is bringing in our family, in our finances, in our health condition, or whatever, through floods, trying to discourage, trying to fail the people, trying to show, oh, you prayed for this, you see God did not answer. Stop seeking God, you know. Hallelujah. Devil does not want you to seek God. Understand it. Whenever you will try to seek God, whenever you will try to come closer to God, he will attack you. Hallelujah. And he will attack you with floods of lies, doubts and deception. That is what he will do to you. That is what he will do to me. Hallelujah. But we have to stand in the word of God. We have to be grounded in the word of God. We have to stand in the faith that we have in Jesus and not let the flood overpower our lives and impact our hearts. And that flood is coming to many people through situations. Oh, you are praying so much. Oh, this people, prayer does not create anything. The word of God. And nowadays Christians have been carried away by the flood of the enemy. Once many of them were seeking God, but they could not overcome the flood that comes from the devil. And they are losing. They are losing their contact with God. They are losing because they believed in the lie. They were carried away by the flood. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter number 7? He said that those who hear my word and obey it, do it, they are building their house on the rock, and the floods will come and the rains will come. Hallelujah. When you are building the house on the word, don't expect that nothing will come. You will just sleep inside your house. No, when you are building your house on the rock, the floods will come to test your house. The rain will beat against your house. Hallelujah. The winds will come, try to shake your house and test your house. Hallelujah. People think, oh, I am going deep with God, I am moving closer to God, nothing will happen to me. See here, the serpent still attacked the woman. Believers got to realize it. He'll speak to you. He will bring a situation in your life. You are praying, and what you were praying, it did not happen. And you will say, oh, it did not happen. Oh, God. And then the devil will start speaking to you. Is the word of God working for you? Is prayer working for you? Should you really spend that much time in prayer? Should you really give that much to God? And he will start to put questions and doubts. Like he spoke to Eve. Did God really told you about the fruit of the tree? Hallelujah. No, you can eat it. Hallelujah. That is the flood of the enemy. Are we understanding? Amen. Hallelujah. When the flood comes and people are overcome by the flood and people are carried away by the flood, one of the things that they lose is the strength that signifies spiritual strength. One of the things that they lose is the joy of the Lord. Is the joy of the Lord. Everyone say the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah.
The joy of the Lord.
Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord. That is when I was praying. This is what, and I believe tonight is a prophetic word more than a deep teaching. That is what God wants to speak to us. And yes, so when believers are overcome by the flood of the enemy and they are carried away by the flood of the enemy, what they lose on is the joy of the Lord. Nowadays, people come to the church with grumpy faces, with doubts in their heart. They are coming to the church not to worship the Lord God Most High, whom they believe in. Most of them are coming to the church as a tradition. Oh, let us go to the church, otherwise, you know, something bad will happen in our lives. Because the pastor told them, oh, if you don't pray, if you don't read the Bible, and curses will come, demons will come, out of the fear, oh, something will happen to us. Let us obey a tradition. It's a tradition going to the church rather than a work of the Spirit in them. The joy is missing. The joy is missing. Hallelujah. They come to the meeting thinking, oh, something will happen if for 1 month I did not come to Brother Raul's meeting. Let me go there because my life is going up and down. I think because I'm not going to the meeting. Let me go to the meeting. The joy is not there. The right intention to come to the meeting is not there. The joy has been stolen. The joy has been stolen. The Bible talks about the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. What is the joy of the Lord? What is the joy of the Lord? Nehemiah, let's go to scripture first. the book of Nehemiah. Chapter number 8. And let us read from verse number 9. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord our God. Do not mourn nor weep." For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Now, when people read this scripture, now what is happening there is, you know, under the leadership of Nehemiah, the builder of the walls, and Ezra, the priest, God was rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. God was rebuilding his empire. Hallelujah, in Jerusalem. And this verse, if you read before this verse, what was happening before that is, Ezra came with the law of God and he was reading the words of the law to God. He was reading the words of the law of God to the people. Okay. And the Bible says here in verse 9, when these people were hearing the word of God, they started to mourn and weep. So many believers, when they read this scripture, we assume, most of them don't have the right revelation. We are assuming they are mourning and weeping because they are getting convicted and they are repenting. No, that is not the mourning and weeping of repentance. They are not crying, dear brothers and sisters, because they are repenting. They are not crying. They are crying because at the hearing of the word of God, they are taking the word of God as a burden in their hearts. That's why they are crying. Stay with me, I will explain that to you. Now, that's why Nehemiah said to them, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn like this. Don't cry like this. Don't weep like this. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the Lord." Then he says, verse number 10, "Then he said to them, 'Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow like this. Do not sorrow. For the joy of the Lord is your strength.'" Now that is the verse coming. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So the joy of the Lord is something that gives us spiritual nourishment, spiritual strength. But what is the joy of the Lord? What do you mean by the joy of the Lord? Joy of the Lord is not smiling like this. Ha ha. No, not that is not the joy. That is not, does not mean the joy. Joy is not signified with the outward expression, but an inward witness. The joy is inward. The joy is not outward. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is not the joy of the world, where we are having money, where we are having cars and all those things, and we are joyful. We are enjoying money. We are enjoying. Not that joy. The Bible is the biblical joy. What is joy? What is the joy of the Lord? Okay, listen to me. The joy of the Lord is the assurance and conviction of faith that the Lord is on our side and his word is true. The joy is the assurance. This is my first definition. Then I will come to some other next definitions. Okay. What is the joy? The joy of the Lord is the assurance and conviction of faith that the Lord is on our side and his word is true. Stay with me with that. Hallelujah. We have the joy of the Lord. Okay, let me go to the next definition from Psalm 16, verse number 11. Let's go to Psalm 16, verse number 11. We will come to the book of Nehemiah afterwards, okay? We are starting from there, but we will come there to end the message. But now let's go into the definitions. These are not dictionary definitions. These are the Holy Spirit definitions I am giving you. Of the joy of the Lord. Okay, Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, verse number 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So as per this, the assurance in our consciousness that we are in Him and under His authority, that is the right hand, the assurance in our consciousness that we are in Him and under His authority, living and walking in His word, defines the joy in our lives. Are we together? Let me come again. The assurance in our consciousness that we are in God and under His authority, living and walking in His word, defines the joy in our lives. No one who is not walking in the word of God can have the joy of God. Only in His presence. When can we be in His presence? When we are in His word. We are in His presence. When we are living in His will, that is His word, we are in His presence. Hallelujah. When we are repenting and there is nothing of the flesh, of sin, of the world in us, we are in His presence. In His presence, are you understanding? There is fullness of joy. So it's the assurance in our consciousness that I am in the Lord and I am walking under His authority. I am doing what He says. I am living in His word. Defines the joy in our lives. We are joyful. We are not insecure. That's why we are joyful. We are not insecure. Oh, what will happen tomorrow? I am not insecure about it because I am in my Father's bosom. My Father is carrying me. His word is preserving me. His word is leading me. I am not insecure. I am joyful. Hallelujah. But people are not joyful because they are insecure about tomorrow. People are not joyful in the Lord. They don't have the joy. So that is the, are you understanding? That is the definition of joy. It's the assurance and conviction of faith that we are in the Lord. The Lord is on our side. We are walking in His word and His word is true. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some people get scared when I preach the word. Why? Because the word of God, because of their flesh, the word does not bring joy to them, glory to their lives. The word brings burdens to their life. What was happening with the people of Israel when they were hearing the law was, they were not repenting. They were weeping because the words were sounding so burdensome to them. Oh, this is the law. Now how to do these things? They were not delighting in the law of God. Hallelujah. Are we together? Okay, let us go move slowly ahead and look at the example of Jesus Christ. I am not saying that we should not weep because Jesus wept in John chapter 11. You remember the famous verse? The smallest verse in the Bible that is there in the Sunday school teaching, that Jesus wept. Okay, let me come to that in John chapter 11. Verse number 40 to 42. Let's go to John chapter number 11. Now, in John chapter 11, there is a verse, there is an act of Jesus that signified the joy of Jesus. John chapter 11, verse number 40 onwards. Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Hallelujah. He said, now this, understand these words that Jesus is speaking with his Father, praying to his Father. He's saying, "Father, I know that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me." When we know that we are praying as per his will, and the Lord is hearing our prayer and answering it, we have the joy. Hallelujah. people don't have the joy because they doubt God. They don't believe in the power of prayer. You know why they don't believe in the power of prayer? Because they are not getting any results. You know why they are not getting any results? Because they are not praying as per God's will, but they are praying according to their selfish desires of their hearts. That's why there is no joy in their prayer. Prayer is not supposed to be burdensome. The word of God is not supposed to be burdensome. The word of God is supposed to bring joy and glory of God in our lives. But it's not bringing it because Christians are considering prayer and word as burdensome. Why? Because they are overtaken by the flood of the serpent. Hallelujah. And they have believed in a lie. Oh, no, nothing is happening. Oh, this word, how we will do? Oh, that word, how? And all those things. But Jesus here, now. Jesus here is saying, Father, I know that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me. But for the sake of the people, I am praying this to you. Hallelujah. Before this, the Bible says, Jesus wept. But he did not continue weeping. You can weep. So Jesus wept because he had compassion on the family of Lazarus and on the people. But he did not continue to weep. He stopped weeping and then he was in action to do the will of God. Hallelujah. Jesus wept because he had compassion on the people. But he did not wept and continued weeping because considering that he can't do anything about the situation. Or he felt that the Lord is not with him. Or the Lord is not in control. There is two types of weeping, my dear friends. You cannot say, oh, Jesus wept, so I am also weeping. No. His weeping was different. He was weeping because he had compassion on the people. And then he stopped weeping. Weeping should not be elongated. Weeping should come because of the right reasons. Mourning should come because of the right reason. Either the Holy Spirit is leading you to have compassion and you are weeping for someone and then stop to weep and pray for that person. Or you are being led to repentance, I will come to that, to godly sorrow, and you cry and repent. Those two reasons are there. But those weepings are not long weeping. People are ever weeping and mourning and they are sad. Those mourning and weeping are not from the Lord. You know why they are weeping? Now Jesus wept because he had compassion. He did not weep because Lazarus is dead. I don't know what to do, God. I don't know. I have no clue. I don't know whether you are working. Why did you kill Lazarus? Why did you allow him to die? That was not the way of weeping of Jesus. Many Christians weep like that. Oh Lord, this happened. Why did you let this happen? Why did you do that? Asking questions, complaining God, blaming God, questioning the power of prayer, questioning the word. That's why they are weeping. Martha and Mary was weeping because of that. Jesus could have done something. No, why didn't he come on time? Otherwise my brother would not have died. But God has his own ways. Amen. Until now, Mary and Martha have seen the Lord healing people and raising up dead when they died. But now they will see this Jesus raise up a person who has a decomposed body. After 4 days, he comes back to life. Until now they saw the healer, until now they saw the God who raises up dead, but now they will see the resurrection and the life. That's why, hallelujah. But you start questioning midway. You start weeping midway. God wants to reveal you revelations about himself that you do not know. But you give up midway and you start weeping. Oh, why this happened? Why I am like this? Lord, why did you allow? I fasted 21 days for this. Still this prayer was not answered. Oh God, they moan, they weep, they moan that weep. That is not from God. That is not from God. Are we understanding until now? The joy of the Lord is signified that we are walking and living in the will of God, in the word of God, and knowing and believing that his word remains true. Even though I am in the valley of death, I will still believe and keep declaring the word of God, declaring the word of God, declaring the word of God. I will not be overcome by the flood of lies of the enemy who is making me doubt God, who is making me doubt the power of the word. The word is powerful. The word is powerful in Jesus' mighty name. My God is powerful in Jesus' mighty name. Prayer can change life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We are not. Hallelujah. That person is joyful. Hallelujah. Even if something comes upon his life, but that person still believes like Jesus. He had assurance. He had joy in his life. That's why he was able to operate in the anointing. If I cannot preach if I don't have the joy of the Lord in me. I cannot preach sermons. I cannot preach to you a God that whom I myself I am doubting. Hallelujah. People think, oh, these preachers don't, everything is fine in their life, that's why they are preaching. No. It's not like that. Hallelujah. We are attacked by the enemy. But it is like, it does not bother me any longer. It's like if you are a glass and someone throws a stone at you, you will easily break. But if you are a stone and a stone comes and strikes you, nothing will happen to you.
Hallelujah.
Nothing will happen to you. They throw more 20 stones at you. Nothing will happen to you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Why? Because you have the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because you are not bothered about what is been thrown against you. You are strong in the word. You are strong in the faith. Believers are not strong in the faith. Though we confess to be strong, we are not strong. When the test of the situation and the test of the flood comes, we fall in that test. That means we are not strong enough. We are like glass that break easily. Something small happens. That's it, what is required to break our heart. Something small happens. That's it, what is required to bring us down in our faith. And make us think, oh, what's the use of this meeting? What's the use of the word of God? What's the use praying? Nothing is happening. The flood of the enemy. Are we understanding? So Jesus had the joy. Hallelujah. He wept because he had compassion of people. But he continued and saying, God, I know you always hear me. The assurance in his heart, the consciousness in which he was living, was the joy of the Lord. Are we understanding the joy of the Lord until now? Okay. Now, second thing is, Jesus did not have the oil of mourning that he will keep on weeping. He had the oil of joy over him. Hebrews chapter number 1, verse number 9. Hebrews chapter number 1, verse number 9. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God your God has anointed you with what? With the oil of gladness more than your companions. Do you want the oil of joy? Do you want the oil of gladness more than anyone else? Jesus, it is talking about Jesus who had the oil of gladness. Why he had the oil of gladness? Why? The Bible says because he loved righteousness. Because he loved the things of God. He loved the law of God. He loved his father. Hallelujah. Do you really love your father? Yes, we love God. Then why do you question God? Why do you doubt him? Hallelujah. Jesus loved righteousness. Love, what is righteousness? Righteousness is the word of God. Righteousness is the things of God. Righteousness is God himself. Hallelujah. He loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. I am telling you that Jesus did not have the oil of mourning and weeping, because many Christians will say, oh brother, we can weep because Jesus also wept, you know. So I am clearing that misconception away from the minds of people. Another verse to support that is Isaiah chapter number 61. Isaiah chapter number 61 and 61, verse number 3, to console, this is about Jesus. He comes to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness. Joy is related to righteousness, you see, every verse. That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Hallelujah. I had previously taken a sermon on the replacement of the spirit of heaviness with the oil of joy. That was about depression. And so that was a different context. But this is what Jesus is doing. We should not mourn like the world mourns. We should not sorrow like the world sorrow. We have to be joyful in the Lord. Why does the world sorrow? Because they are insecure about tomorrow. They don't know what is going to happen. But we are not sorrowing. We are not mourning because we know our God. We know that we are in His hands. We know that He protects us. Hallelujah. Then what's the insecurity about, people of God? I know 2-3 prayers did not get answers. God has His own ways. He's teaching you something. Something greater is coming for you. Hallelujah. Do not worry. Do not be afraid. Do not mourn. Do not weep. Continue to steadfastly hold on to the promises of God and pray. Pray. Declare the word. Seek the Lord's face. Seek His will. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Amen. So this is the oil. This is the anointing on Jesus. So we have the joy of the Lord and not the spirit of mourning or ungodly sorrow when we love righteousness. First is when we love righteousness and hate lawlessness. It's not only about loving God. Some people love God and also love the devil. That does not work. Some people love righteousness, also love lawlessness. That does not work. The Bible says you have to love righteousness and hate lawlessness. Many pastors don't speak about lawless deeds, don't expose lawless deeds. Why? Because they have some affection. They don't want to offend the lawless people. Hallelujah. And in turn, the Bible says that if you are not doing that thing, but you approve of the things of darkness, you are a part of the very sin that those people are doing. We don't approve of the things that are done, the acts of darkness, the wicked acts of darkness or lawlessness. We don't approve, rather we expose it. Hallelujah. Amen. We have the joy of the Lord when we love righteousness. When we love righteousness, at the same time we are hating lawlessness. Amen. Jesus did not take any nonsense of hallelujah in the temple. When he went in the temple, your humble Jesus, oh loving Jesus, this Jesus took a whip and started to beat those money changers and the sellers of doves and pigeons who were selling those merchandise in the temple place, and drove them out. And he said, stop making my father's house a marketplace. Hallelujah. He did not care. He exposed evil in his ministry. He exposed the Pharisees in his ministry. Amen. He exposed what spirits they carried. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Those people who, my ministry is just to spread the love of Jesus. What kind of ministry is that? That is not a biblical ministry, my dear friend. Hallelujah. What spread the love? Yeah, we are also spreading the love of Jesus, but in the right way. The love of God is not the love you think. When we think about love, we think about loving everyone, keeping everyone happy, pleasing everyone. That is not the love of God. Hallelujah. The love of God is to break you, mold you, and turn you into the image of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That is what the love of God is intended towards. It's not to cuddle you. It's not to keep you sleeping on the bed of roses and put the AC on and, oh, I want to pamper you. I want to kiss you, my dear son. I want to hug you, my dear son. That is not many preachers there in many pastors, many evangelists preach this kind of Jesus, which is not the Jesus of the Bible. They post photos on WhatsApp of Jesus. Jesus will hug you. Jesus will kiss you. He wants to come to you. That is not Jesus. That is not Jesus. They are preaching about Jesus, remembering in context about the, what the girlfriend does to them. It's not Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus is not like that. When you want to come closer to Jesus, he will not come and hug you. Oh, you came. Come, come, come. He will say, take off your sandals because the place you stand is holy. Amen. He will train you and equip you in the things of heaven. Amen. He will train you to be a warrior. A Christian, a believer is not a baby. A believer is a warrior. Understand that. Yes. Everyone say, I am not a baby. I am a warrior. Amen.
I'm not a baby. I'm a warrior.
Amen. You are not a baby. You have to understand that. You are a warrior. More than you need hugs and kisses from Jesus, you need some of his rebukes.
Amen.
You need some of his breaking so that you can become a warrior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Many, many pastoral documents. The pastors I was under, you know, in the church, he used to read pastoral books because he was a pastor and he also went to do a divination course. They have to unlearn all that is taught in those theological colleges. I'm telling you, it's all wrong. Then, you know what is taught there? Pastors are taught to pamper people. Oh, pamper people. Love them, cuddle them, hug them, this them. Oh, that is not how a pastor should be. A pastor should train and equip people in the realms of the spirit. Hallelujah. But pastors, what they are doing? No, 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 don't pray. I will pray for you. I am there for you. Every situation, I am there for you. That is what they are taught. What you are there for you, there for them, then what's the use of the Holy Spirit? What's the use of Jesus then? You are there for them every time. If I pray for you and everything happens, then you don't have to go to Jesus. You come to me. I become your Jesus. That is the pastoral teaching. When you go to a pastoral degree, that is what they will teach you. That is what they will teach you. Oh my God. To pamper people. And that's why more than warriors, we are giving birth to babies who are not able to handle the flood of the enemy. We are giving birth to babies. We are not training warriors in this kingdom. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? We got to love righteousness and hate lawlessness. John the Baptist, he exposed evil. Hallelujah. If we know something evil is happening, how can you approve of it? You have to say, you know, I am not against any one of you, but what is wrong is wrong. I am not into this. I don't agree with you. Hallelujah. In your office, when you are working, they are trying to pull down someone. Don't put your hand with your boss. Considering, oh, if I listen to my boss, he will promote me someday. No, 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 no. Hallelujah. Stand for the right things. Stand for righteousness. Stand for what is right. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Amen. It does not happen in the US, but it happens in India because we live in a country that is not a Christian country. It's a Hindu country. Hallelujah. So when we are in the office, there are so many activities related to idol worship. Are you joining them? When you are joining them, no, 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 brother, I did not raise them. I did not pray their prayers. I was just standing with them. What you were standing with them? Why did you step in their temple? Why did you step in the temple of idols? And then you will come inviting all the demons and bondages. And then you will come, oh, Jesus is not working in my life. What Jesus is not working? You are going and doing the things that Jesus does not want you to do. No wonder you don't have the joy of the Lord. Every time, the only thing you have to say is, oh, nothing is happening. What nothing is happening? What's the problem with you? How can nothing happen in your life when Jesus is with you? That's not possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They are not loving righteousness. And they are not hating lawlessness. That's why the joy is not there. Hallelujah. If you love righteousness, hate lawlessness, the joy will be there. Secondly, we have the joy when we are not hiding from God and we don't have secret sins. We have the joy of the Lord when we are not what? Hiding from God. The first thing that Adam and Eve did, that when God came, because they sinned, they were hiding from God. We don't want God to intervene and expose us. We don't want to open our lives. We want to keep it closed. Some people would not talk to me longer because they think that if they talk to me longer, the Lord will start speaking to me about their secret sins. Hallelujah. Some people call me for the first time and then when I tell them this wrong, oh brother, yes, and afterwards they will not talk to me because I start to expose the things that they don't want to tell me. Hallelujah. God is the God of light. And we are the ministers of light. We are the ministers of fire. If I minister, I will expose every darkness. I don't go to any church to minister. Because no pastor wants to call me. The state the church is in. Because if I minister in a church, I will expose darkness. And people want to keep it hidden. They don't want it to come to light. When you hide things from God, you don't have the joy of God. When you hide your sins from God, you don't have the joy of God. Are we understanding? Proverbs chapter number 28 verse 13. Proverbs chapter number 28 verse number 13. He who covers his sins will not prosper. In other versions it says, he who hides his sins will not prosper. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when you have mercy, you have the joy. Are we understanding? So we have to keep our hearts and lives open. Lord, you can search my life, go into any area of my life and do whatever you want. I don't want to hide anything. That is why David, King David, did not continue to mourn because of his sin. You know why? Because he wrote Psalm 51 and exposed what he did to the whole Israel. And he said, I have sinned against the Lord. And against you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. Hallelujah. That was the difference between David and Saul. Saul wanted to hide. Oh, Samuel, do not tell anyone about this. You know, let us go secret and worship and sacrifice to the Lord so that I may be forgiven. And Samuel said, get rid of me. God is not going to God is not with you now because you are hiding your sins. But David found mercy. So David, you know, he was mourning because he committed the sin. And then a curse came upon his family. And then his child was going to die, which was born out of adultery. He was mourning. But he did not continue to mourn after that. He did not went into depression after that. He did not start doubting God after that because he exposed his sin. Whatever wrong he did, he told it before God and before the whole Israel that I have sinned before the Lord. Are we understanding? That's why the Bible says that when you come together, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that there might be healing in the body of Christ. Are we understanding? So we don't have the joy because we are hiding so many things. Many Christians I see in the spirit as if they are carrying so many burdens in their heart. We speak to them unnecessary bitterness, unnecessary offenses in their hearts. And they don't want to. If someone speaks to you, okay? If someone speaks to you, you are speaking to someone rather, and that person has many things against you in his or her heart, filled in her heart or in his heart against you, the person will not be able to talk with you openly and joyfully. Are we understanding? That is what is happening with people. Because they have so many of doubts and offenses against God, against people of God, against pastors, that they cannot have the joy of the Lord. They are so burdened and weighed down with all the bitterness, offenses, doubts. Why that is not happening? Why this person told me like this? Why he prayed and did not happen? And this, so many things in their heart. Hallelujah. Many people you speak to, even they cannot look into your eyes and speak to you because They will do like this, like this, like this, because they carry so many bitterness in their heart. Yes, hallelujah. They cannot speak to you openly. That's why believers are saying, we are praying, but they are not praying to God openly, because they are carrying burdens in their hearts and praying. Cast that burden off and pray. Cast that burden off and pray. You cannot pray with burdens in your heart and mind. You have to pray. You have to empty yourself and get into prayer. Hallelujah. Tomorrow we are going to pray. So I will tell you many things tomorrow before we start with prayer and intercession. Hallelujah. That is the second thing, that we are, that if we don't hide anything from God and don't have secret sins, we have the joy of the Lord. Third thing is, when the commandments of the Lord are burdensome to you and you don't delight in the law of the Lord, you will not have the joy of the Lord. Let's go to 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 3. 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Everyone say, His commandments are not burdensome.
His commandments are not burdensome.
No, never. His commandments, His word is not at all burdensome.
Right.
Hallelujah. I have seen in the time I used to minister in the church, many people were just not ready to read the Bible and meditate on it, because they said the Bible is too hard for them. These are people who are graduates and who earn in India 40,000-50,000 rupees a month. And they don't want to read the Bible, because they say they are Christians, they are worship leaders. Some of them are even elders in the church. And you know, they don't know the book of Micah is in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. When we say open the book of Micah, they go to the Old Testament, New Testament. They don't know the Bible. Why? Because they don't want to even open the Bible and read, because it seems burdensome to them. When you ask them, they have 1,000 excuses. If you answer one excuse, they have the second ready. If you answer the second one, they have the third ready. If you answer and convince them in the third one, they have the fourth ready. So don't waste your time with them. It's burdensome to them. Hallelujah. It's burdensome to them. Hallelujah. When I counsel some people and tell them, you know, you need to cut off from those relatives who are worshipping idols and stop going to their house and fellowshipping with them. Brother, how can you say that? I am not saying that. The word says that. No, that is not right. We have to keep contacts with people. I cannot leave my relatives. Commandments of God, burdensome to them. And they justify their acts. Hallelujah. Are you understanding? Many people, they don't obey God because God's command are like burdensome to them. But that is not the truth. The commandments of God, Apostle John is saying, the commandments of God are not burdensome. When the commandments of God are not burdensome? The commandments of God are not burdensome when you are taking delight in His word, in His law. Psalm chapter number 1, verse 1 and 2. Let's go there. Psalm chapter number 1, verse 1 and 2. Psalm chapter number 1, verse 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Why are we able to meditate? Why can I meditate on the law day and night every time? Because I delight in this word. When can I delight in the word? When I am not walking in the counsel of the ungodly. When I can delight in the word, when I am not standing in the path of sinners, when I am not sitting in the seats of the scornful. Are you understanding? Be careful about the voices you influencing you. Be careful about people whom you fellowship with. Be careful about people whom you closely associate with. Because if you stand in the path of the sinner, sit in the seat of the scornful, they will steal the delight in the word of God from you. They will steal it away. They will steal it away, I am telling you. Hallelujah. When I was in the office every weekend, when I used to work in the office in the corporate, every weekend they would say, oh, Saturday, Sunday is a week off. They would go somewhere for picnic or whatever. I never went with them. You know why? Not because I hate them, but because I know if I go with them Saturday, Sunday, I will lose delight in the law of the Lord. I will lose interest in God, in the things of God. So I don't fellowship with the people of the world much. I don't fellowship, I mean to say, it's not that if they see me, I will turn my face. I will say, hi, hello, that's it. How are you? That's it. Meeting in the office, doing the professional work, that's it. That's my limit. After that, I don't fellowship with anyone. I don't closely associate with anyone. Because if I start to closely associate with the world and the people of the world and that kind of people will steal away the delight in the law of the Lord. They will steal away the... That's why people are not interested to come to church. That's why young people are not interested, because they fellowship too much in the world. Hallelujah. Because the people around you, the people around you can steal the interest and delight you have in the law of God. Hallelujah. And when that is taken away, the commandments of God become burdensome to you. Hallelujah. And that is what the state of many Christians are. The commandments of God are burdensome to them. Reading the Bible is burdensome to them. Doing a study is burdensome to them. Hallelujah. Amen. And if the commandment of God becomes burdensome, when I am preaching the word and you are hearing it, instead of it bringing the joy and the glory of God in your life, it will bring sorrow in your life. That is what was happening with Nehemiah people in the book of Nehemiah. We'll come to that at a later part. Hallelujah. Are we understanding, people?
Yes.
Okay, listen. Okay, why are some people not having the joy of the Lord and not delighting in the things of God, but it is burdensome to them? Why? Point number one is because they are influenced by wrong voices. They are fellowshipping with wrong people and wrong voices. That is what I told you. Second thing is, they are carnal and their flesh is mighty. They are fleshy Christians. They are not able to delight in the things of God, which is in turn not keeping the joy of the Lord in them, because they are carnal and their flesh is so mighty. Mighty flesh people. Have you heard about it? Flesh is mighty. Spirit is small. Flesh is big. Spirit is so weak because no word, no prayer, no study of the word, no meditation, no seeking God. Spirit is small. Spirit is so weak. Flesh is mighty. All the things they get attracted to is the things of the flesh. Is the things of the flesh world. You cannot stop them. You cannot convince them because their flesh is mighty. Hallelujah. Third is, they don't trust the Lord enough. They don't trust the Lord. They trust their own self. Okay, let me take you to a verse. To a scripture in the book of Numbers, chapter number 11. Numbers chapter number 11, verse number 4 to 6. Numbers 11, verse 4 to 6. Okay. Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving, so the children of Israel also wept again. They were weeping. See this. They were weeping. Now why they are weeping? Not because they need God. Not because of the right things. They were weeping because of their intense craving. And by weeping, they said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish we ate freely in Egypt. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. They start to despise and make the word of God a burden to their lives. Manna signifies the word, the fresh word. Hallelujah. The fresh word. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? I wonder how people are so lazy in my meeting, because I bring the fresh word, but still some people sit like this. Why? Because their flesh is so mighty. The word can bring glory in one person's life, but can bring burdens in another person's life. Why? Because this person is mighty in the flesh and the word is becoming burdensome and saying, oh, what this again? Again, and this person, when this person hears the word, it changes his life. It brings glory. It, because this person is in the spirit. This person is sitting in the meeting with heart and mind empty to receive from God and asking God to break him or mold him and work on him. And when you sit in that state of humility, the word of God, when it comes to you, it will bring the glory of God with the word and you will experience God's presence. But some people are so mighty in the flesh, their heart and mind are fixed on Egypt, on the cucumbers, on the melons, on the meat, on the onion, on the garlic. Why they are desiring all those nonsense? Because their flesh is getting attracted to the things of the world. The flesh is so mighty, they are not able to control or tame that intense craving that is coming from the flesh, so much so that they start weeping. They start weeping. We should not weep like that. That is demonic weeping. Don't weep. Oh God, I am not having this. I am not having that. That is not godly weeping. That is demonic weeping. Hallelujah. It's a spirit of heaviness and sorrow that is coming upon you. Because your flesh is mighty. Are we understanding? So that is what I said. They were weeping because they were still under the influence of their past and the voices of Egypt. Hallelujah. Still not loving the things of God, but loving the things of the past. Second, their flesh was mighty. And that's why they gave into the intense craving that were coming from the flesh. Third, God's word and his works had become familiar to them. And they lost on the power and strength that comes from the word of God. Sometimes Christian activities become familiar to you. Prayer, word, every Friday, Saturday, Sunday we have. Yeah, it's familiar. Nothing happens there. You become so familiar to Jesus. Especially children who are born into Christian families. Children who are born Christians. They don't experience the power of the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because from childhood they are Christians. And going to church and hearing their papa preach, their biological father preach, it is so familiar to them. Oh yeah. When you are too familiar with the word cannot work in you. When you are too familiar with Jesus, Jesus cannot change your life. This Jesus who is changing people's life, healing them, delivering them, this same Jesus could not do anything with his own brothers. Why? The brothers were so familiar with him. Oh, this is our brother. We know him. He worked in the carpentry shop. He's of the same family. Jesus could do no miracles in his own country. Why? Because the people of his own place knew him. And he said a prophet is not respected in his own. Why? Sometimes you are a mighty apostle. But your family is so familiar with you that they don't consider you like that. The power of an apostle, of a prophet, the anointing is working and transforming other people's life. But it is not doing anything in your family. Why? Because your family members are too familiar with you. And that is what happened. That is what happened with the people of Israel. They said, this manna is giving us stress now. We are done with this manna, because they were eating manna every day. And even though it was fresh manna given to them every day, but because of their mindset, they become familiar. When you are too familiar with the word of God, oh, this is, yeah, the same. Oh, what this verse? You know, I have heard it from many pastors. It will not let the joy of the Lord come in you. The word of God is like I read the Bible so many times. I've read the Bible so many times. And none of the times I repeated to read the Bible was like the previous experience. It was fresh. It excited me. It brought the glory in my life. The same preaching I am doing, I can take the joy of the Lord and preach it in a fresh way again, because the word of God is so fresh. Its revelation is awakening. But people are not able to experience that. Because they are too mighty in the flesh. They are too familiar with it. They don't have the joy of the Lord. That's why they don't have the joy of the Lord. Going to church, Hearing the word, yeah, no joy, no joy. People coming to the church like that. Are we understanding people of God until now? Okay, let's go back to Nehemiah chapter number 8 now. Nehemiah chapter number 8. And we started from here about the joy of the Lord. Okay, Nehemiah. Sorry. Chapter number 8, and we started from verse number 9, okay? Where Nehemiah is telling the people, and Nehemiah who was the governor, verse number 9. Chapter number 8, verse number 9. Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep." For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is our strength." Everyone say, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." The joy of the Lord is our strength.
The joy of the Lord is our strength.
The joy of the Lord is our strength when? When the commandments of God are a delight to our soul. It is our strength when we are walking in the will of God. When we are having a consciousness that we know that He is on our side. When we know that the word of God is true. The situation is an illusion, but the word is reality. The attack is a temporary thing, but the word is a reality. When we know, when we have assured in our heart that the Lord is hearing our prayer because we are praying according to His will, like Jesus, we have the joy of the Lord. When we love the things of God, we have the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And when you have the joy of the Lord, the devil will not be able to put you down because you carry the strength of God. The joy of the Lord in someone's life is the sign that you are strong. You are strong. Hallelujah. And the devil cannot put you down when you have the joy. Then what you see what verse number 11 and 12 says. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, "Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. Do not sorrow like that." Why they were sorrowing? Because the commandments of God were coming as a burden to them. Hallelujah. And they were out of heaviness of the spirit. They were sorrowing and weeping in the wrong way. Earlier, I used to think some people are... When I used to preach, many people used to cry, you know, like this. They used to shed tears. And I thought the Holy Spirit is working in them. Then later, the Holy Spirit taught me that many of them are not weeping because I am... They are weeping because of the burdens in their own heart. Hallelujah. Many say, "Prophesy, man of God." Don't use that word, "prophesy, man of God." Many men of God say, "Can I prophesy?" You are shifting the focus of God unto you when you use the statement, "Can I prophesy?" And then people get excited all in the congregation. You know why? Because they want their fleshy desires. Some people have come to the congregation. They have traveled from India to South Africa. They have went there so that they want their Canada visa to be approved. They have went there because they want an admission in the top college. Some have went there because they want the job. Yes, all the fleshy desires. No one has tapped into the will of God. And then they carry out this prophetic thing there. Hallelujah. And they cry, prophet of God, prophesy. And they cry and they weep. They are not weeping under the influence of the Holy Spirit. They are weeping under the influence of their carnal desires. So weeping like that is not from the Lord. Weeping like that is not from the Lord. Hallelujah. Are we understanding it? They were weeping and Nehemiah said, "Do not weep. Do not be grieved." The Levites quieted them. All the people who were grieving. They said, don't grieve like that. This day is holy to our God. Be joyful in this day. Then verse number 12 said, and all the people when they... Now the Levites, Ezra is a scribe. What does a scribe do? They teach the people. They teach the people not only the law, but the revelation of the law, the revelation of the word. So verse number 12 says, and all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions and rejoice greatly because they understood the words that were declared to them. After they started to console people, don't grieve, and started to explain people that this day is holy and rejoice, this word is not supposed to make you mourn. They explained the word in the right way, and when the people understood the word of God, they rejoiced. We cannot blame it on all believers. The loophole is in the teaching ministry in the body of Christ. The loophole is in the pastoral ministry, whoever is responsible to teach the people of God. There is one extreme where people just preach the word and condemn people and make them religious and legalist. There is another extreme where they are totally into lawless preaching, where there is, what they are preaching is the abuse of the grace of God and abuse of the grace that comes from the word of God. No one is teaching people in the right way with the revelation of God's voice to the people. That's why the commandments of God is not coming in the right revelation with the right understanding to the people of God. But if people are taught the right way and if they understand the word of God, they will rejoice in the word and at the hearing of the word. Are we understanding, people of God? Hallelujah. Praise God for leaders like Nehemiah, Ezra and the Levites of those times. And we need to have such leaders in the church who are able to explain and teach, being themselves the example, and teach the word of God with the accurate voice of God, with the revelation of God, with revealing the heart of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Some people preach to that extreme. If you will sin, you will die. Curses will come in your family. Satan will destroy you. Satan is waiting for you. Oh my God, it makes the word of God so burdensome to those people. Hallelujah. Because they themselves are in fear and they impart the fear on the congregation. They themselves are insecurity. And I have seen pastors like that. Their personal life is full of insecurities. When they come on the pulpit, they preach in the flesh. And after people leave the church, there is no peace in their hearts. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Because they don't have the right understanding of the word. The word is sealed. The Holy Spirit has to open the seal to us for us to understand the word. Hallelujah. When the word is sealed and we read the word with the seals on it, it becomes burden to us. But we have to ask the Holy Spirit to open the word, open the understanding. I'm not a special person that the word opens up for me. Anyone who humbles himself and trembles at the word of God, God will open the seals for him. There is no partiality with God. If you tonight take a decision to humble yourself completely before God and tell God, I open up my life. Like I said, I don't want to keep any secret sins. Lord, deal with me, break me, mold me. If you want to insult me and teach me, insult me. That is the prayers you need to do. That is the prayers I used to pray at the age of 19. For God to deal, Lord, you do your will, you do your will, you do your will with me. I am completely submissive to you and to your word. And then you read the word of God. Word of God, and the word will start to open itself to you. Hallelujah. And then the word of God, oh my God, the word, reading the word will be an adventure for you. Hallelujah. For the revelation that it brings to you. When people understood the word, they started to become joyful. Understand the word with revelation. Understand the word with revelation. Eve fell into the trap of the enemy, Eve, because the word was not communicated to her with the right understanding. She was deceived and she went into all those things, you know, because the word was not given to her with understanding. Okay, hallelujah. When we have the word in understanding, it brings the strength of God, that is the joy of God. The assurance, this word is true. It's like you are into a situation from so many days. And then you pray, you humble yourself down, you get into the realm and you read the word. When the words come to you, it comforts you. It becomes real to you. and your mind is completely out of the situation you are worrying about. Hallelujah. That means when you are reading the word is bringing joy into your life. The word is restoring joy into your life. Are we understanding until now? Okay, hallelujah. Now, let me talk about, because many people, oh brother, one of them told me, oh brother, how can you say that I should overcome depression? Even Elijah was depressed, you know. Oh brother, how can you say that I should overcome lust, because even David lust? That is wrong. And many people say, how can you say that I should be joyful? Even Elijah was sorrowful. Those are the weaknesses of men of God. And we should not use the Bible as a license for us to sin. It's the work, it's the understanding and the interpretation you are getting out of the word of God is demonic and not godly. Hallelujah. You are reading the Bible, that's true. What you are saying is a fact. But through that word, the Holy Spirit is not speaking to you. That's the problem. And you are using the examples of men of God, you know, as a license for you to do those sins or to do those negative acts. So let me take you to 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. Verse number 9 to 11. Verse number 9 to 11. Now listen carefully. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance. For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation. This is again talking about weeping and sorrow. What it says? Godly sorrow produces repentance, that repentance leads us to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. Now let me explain and differentiate godly sorrow and the sorrow of the world. First of all, what did the Bible say? Godly sorrow leads you to repentance. Then when you repent, you have the salvation. After having salvation, you don't again sorrow. Now you have the joy. Okay? So what I want to say is, if your sorrow was godly and repentance was true, it is signified by the joy that comes after it. In other words, your sorrow will not be elongated. That is what I want to say. The sorrows that don't go away from your life is not godly sorrow. Yesterday you were weeping. In the morning you were weeping. Afternoon also you are weeping. Night also you are weeping and sorrowing and whatever, mourning. That is not godly sorrow. That is not godly sorrow. Because godly sorrow is just for a time being. It will produce repentance in you. It will bring salvation. And after the night of mourning, the joy comes. After the night of crying and mourning, the joy would come in the morning. Hallelujah. Sorrows, because people are nowadays very shrewd and smart, smarter than me. And they say, brother, you know, sorrow is godly. You know, I can be sad because things are not working for me. It's not godly. Godly sorrows cannot be elongated. Godly sorrow will not last for much time. Maybe for a day, not more than that. After that, it will produce repentance, and then the salvation will come and it will bring joy. What does the Bible say in Psalm chapter number 30, verse 5? I'm talking about sorrow and weeping because people are weeping always. Well, that is not from God. That cannot be justified by the word of God. Psalm chapter number 30, verse 5. Let's go there. Psalm chapter number 30 verse 5, it says, for his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. Weeping is just for the night, but it has to be followed with joy. Godly sorrow is followed with joy. Godly sorrow does not end with sorrow. Godly sorrow ends with joy. The joy comes. But when there is an elongation of sorrow and no joy is coming, it's from the flesh. It's demonic. It's not godly. Do not weep, children of God. Alleluia. For the King of Kings is coming back. He is in control. We have to exercise our faith. We have to exercise our faith. Let me take you to another verse and then we will pray. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 verse 13. Another two verses. Then we will end. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 verse number 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Don't sorrow like the world who have no hope. We have the hope. We have the hope. Even if the world is destroyed, even if everything is destroyed, why to sorrow? Because Jesus is coming back to take us. Hallelujah. Fear not those who can only kill the body, but fear him who can kill both body and soul. Why should we fear? Because we are not going to die. We are going to sleep. Amen. We are going to sleep. Christians don't die. Christians have an everlasting life. Christians have a hope. Jesus has given us everlasting life. We will not die. Why do you fear about that sickness? It cannot kill you. You cannot die. When you have Jesus in you, you will go to sleep. That is what Apostle Paul is encouraging the church. When there is a funeral, don't weep as the world is weeping. As if there is no hope. These people have slept in Christ. Okay? When there is a loss, don't weep. Knowing that your real treasure was not that money. Your real treasure was not that property. Your real treasure is Jesus. And Jesus is with you. Why should you weep?
Amen.
Hallelujah. God has taught me by making me lose money, making me lose things. And then I realized why that was happening, because God was teaching me and making me, hallelujah, know that my real treasure is Jesus. And then I got detached. Any kind of tragedy cannot put you into sorrow, because when Jesus is your real treasure, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be. You can lose everything in life, but if you hold on to Jesus, you will not lose Jesus. If you hold on to His word, you will not lose Him.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Keep Him. Keep Him. Walk with Him. Hallelujah. And you shall not. Sorrow, mourning is not from the Lord. Weeping is not from the Lord. Even though you are sorrowful, but that sorrow, godly sorrow, will lead you to repentance. And then you repent, and when the assurance of the forgiveness of God comes, you will be joyful. Oh, the Lord forgave me. And your life is changed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Are we understanding? If there is a church that people come every Sunday, and every Sunday they are weeping, weeping. No. That is not biblical. Hallelujah. We have to come in the house of the Lord with joy, with joy, with joy. Not with burdens, not with sorrow. Hallelujah. Then again, another word, John chapter number 10. This is the last one, John chapter number 10. And then we will pray. Hallelujah. John chapter number 10, verse number 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. The thief, the devil, does not come to steal. To steal what? To steal first of all, the word of God. The word of God. He comes to steal the word of God. And if he has stolen the word of God, he has killed your joy. He has destroyed your peace. That's all he wants. He wants to steal the word. He wants to kill your joy. He wants to destroy your peace. And many people are letting him do that. Stand against the devil. And we are not going to let him do that. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give you thanks. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Reba sem prokotara balakadrabe. Oh, we worship you. Father, I want to pray that, Lord, with this word, you bring the joy in the lives of people. Many Christians, Lord, around. Because this time is the end time. And the devil is trying his best to gather people for hell. And in doing that, he is sending floods of lies and deception and doubts in the lives of Christians. And many Christians are being defeated. But by this word, you bring victory in their lives in Jesus' mighty name. Oh Lord, the assurance that your word is true. and that you are on their side, Lord, and that they walk in your word and your will, Lord, will restore that will define and bring and restore the joy in their life. Your word says, Lord, in your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand pleasures forevermore. Oh Lord, let Christians, let you, Lord, take the right hand, the authority of their lives, Lord, and let them walk in your word. Lord, everyone, Lord, for whom the word of God is burdensome, prayer is burdensome, I break the spell of the enemy upon their lives right now in Jesus' mighty name, that their lives will be revived, that they will delight in the law of God, and in his law they will meditate day and night, that they will delight in praying to God. Hallelujah. That no lies and the wiles of the enemy will be able to pull them down in Jesus' mighty name. Will be that no devil will be able to steal their joy. I bind those stealing devil. I bind those stealing spirits, Lord. Hallelujah. Who have come to steal, kill and destroy. Steal the word. Steal the word, Lord. Steal the revelation of the word. Steal the understanding of the word. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I have seen the downfall of Satan. Glory be to God. Glory be to Jesus. I have seen the downfall of Satan. Glory be to God. Amen. Come on, people of God, you are not participating. You have seen, I have seen the downfall of Satan. Glory be to God. Glory be to Jesus. I have seen the downfall of Satan. Glory be to God. Amen. When I look to my front, I see Satan has fallen. When I look to my back, I see Satan has fallen. When I look to my right, I see Satan has fallen. When I look to my left, I see Satan has fallen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I have seen the victory of Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to Jesus. I have seen the victory of Jesus. Glory be to God. Amen. When I look to my front, I see Jesus has conquered. When I look to my back, I see Jesus has conquered. When I look to my right, I see Jesus has conquered. When I look to my left, I see Jesus has conquered. Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Wherever you see, you have to see Satan fallen and Jesus conquered. Hallelujah. That's the faith we have. That's what we see. Don't look at the situation and see you defeated. See at the situation and look all around you and see Satan has fallen. That is what Elisha saw. He saw the army of fire. Hallelujah. And he saw the victory of God. All around us, we have the victory of God. You will witness the victory of God if we got the eyes of the Spirit. Hallelujah. For he has already conquered. We are not defeated people. We are already victorious. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's why we are joyful. We are joyful. We are joyful. We are joyful. Let the joy of the Lord tonight be restored in the lives of people. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for this wonderful time. I cover everyone with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah.
Amen and amen. Apostle Rahul, the judge of the Lord.